My Very Own Room by Amada Irma Perez. Illustrated by Maya Cristina Gonzalez. I woke up one morning on a crowded bed in a crowded room. Victor's elbow was jabbing me in the ribs. Mario had climbed out of his crib and crawled in with us. Now his leg lay across my face and I could hardly breathe. In the bed next to ours, my three other brothers were sleeping. I was getting too big for this. I was almost 9 years old, and I was tired of sharing a room with my five little brothers. More than anything in the whole world, I wanted a room of my own. A little space was all I wanted, but there wasn't much of it. Our tiny house was shared by eight of us, and sometimes more when our friends and relatives came from Mexico and stayed with us until they found jobs and places to live. Once a family with eight kids, mostly boys, lived with us for 2 months. It was noisy and a lot of fun. There was always a long line to use the bathroom, but the toilet seat was always warm. Sometimes, very early in the morning, while everyone was still sleeping, I would climb up the crooked ladder that leaned against the elm tree in our backyard. I would sit on a little board, pretending it was a bench, and just think. I could hear my father snoring. He worked all night at the factory and went to bed just before dawn. I loved my brothers. It wasn't that I didn't want to be near them. I just needed a place of my own. I tiptoed around our tiny two-bedroom house. I peeked behind the curtain my mother had made from flour sacks to separate our living room from the storage closet. Aha! This is it! This could be my room! I imagined it with my own bed, table, and lamp. A place where I could read the books I loved, write in my diary, and dream. I sat down among the boxes. My mother must have heard me because she came in from the kitchen. "Mama, it's perfect," I said, and I told her my idea. "Ay, mijita, you do not understand. We are storing my sister's sewing machine and your uncle's garden tools. Someday they will need their things to make a better living in this new country." "And there's the furniture and old clothes," she said. Slowly she shook her head. Then she saw the determination on my face and the tears forming in my eyes. "Wait," she said, seriously thinking. "Maybe we could put these things on the back porch and cover them with old blankets. And we could put a tarp on top so nothing would get ruined," I added. "Yes, I think we can do it. Let's take everything out and see how much space there is." I gave her a great big hug and she kissed me. After breakfast, we started pushing the old furniture out to the back porch. Everyone helped. We were like a mighty team of powerful ants. We carried furniture, tools, and machines. We dragged bulging bags of old clothes and toys. We pulled boxes of treasures and overflowing junk. Finally, everything was out except for a few cans of leftover paint from the one time we had painted the house. Each can had just a tiny bit of paint inside. There was pink and blue and white, but not nearly enough of any one color to paint the room. "I have an idea," I said to my brothers. "Let's mix them. Hector and Sergio helped me pour one can into another, and we watched the colors swirl together. A new color began to appear, a little like purple and much stronger than pink. Magenta. We painted and painted until we ran out of paint. Mama showed me how to measure my new magenta wall with a piece of bright yellow yarn left over from the last baby blanket she had crocheted. Tio Pancho was going back to Mexico and said I could have his bed, but we had to let him know if it would fit. We cut off the piece of yarn that showed us just how big the bed could be. We all ran to Tio Pancho's waving the piece of yarn. We measured his bed. Perfect! That yellow piece of yarn was magical. A little later, Tio Pancho arrived with my new bed tied to the roof of his car. I ran out and hugged him. Papa helped him carry the bed in and carefully ease it into place. My brothers jumped up and down and everybody clapped. Then Raul moved an empty wooden crate over to my new bed and stood it on end to make a bedside table. All you need now is a little lamp, my mother said. She brought out a shoebox stuffed with blue chip stamps she had been collecting for years. Mama and Papa got them for free when they bought food or gas. They were like little prizes that could be used as money at special stores. But before we could spend them, we had to paste them into special stamp books. We licked and licked and pasted and pasted. When we were done, Papa drove us to the stamp store. I saw the lamp I wanted right away. It was as dainty as a beautiful ballerina, made of white ceramic glass with a shade that had ruffles around the top and bottom. I shut my eyes. I was so excited, yet so afraid we wouldn't have enough stamps to get it. Then I heard my mother's voice. Yes, mijita, we have enough. When we got home, I carefully set the new lamp on my bedside table. Then I lay on my new bed and stared at the ceiling, thinking. Something was still missing, the most important thing. Books. The next day, I went to our public library and rushed home with my arms full of books. 6, to be exact. It was my lucky number because 6 children in my family. That evening, I turned on my new lamp and read and read. My 2 littlest brothers, Mario and Victor, stood in the doorway holding back the flour sack curtain. I invited them in. They cuddled up on my new bed and I read them a story. Then we said goodnight and they went back to their room. I felt like the luckiest, happiest little girl in the whole world. Everyone in our family had helped to make my wish come true. Before I could even turn out the light, I fell asleep peacefully under a blanket of books in my very own room.